Thursday, we started off with the color of God's voice. And then I was trying to explain why the word color of God's voice, it should be the sound of God's voice. But because I want us to understand that indeed God's voice has color. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we looked at a number of things. I'm just trying to do a little bit of from what we did on Thursday so that we continue today. Amen. So we looked at Jeremiah 18:1, and we looked at the story of how God asked Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and asked him to see the work that the potter was doing. We also saw Joshua chapter 1 from verse 5 to 9, how God told Joshua, especially in verse 8, that this book of the law shall not depart from his mouth. And how do you have God's word come out of your mouth when you've not read it, you've not looked at it? You have to first look at it, study it, chew it very well, meditate on it, and then when anything happens, once you come, it's God's word that's just, you know, busting out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. And then from then on, we went on and on and talked about how to know the voice of God. We looked at and we're saying that you can tell God's voice from any other voice. You can tell God's voice from any other voice because God's voice is meant to be different from any other voice. And we looked at three things. God's voice is his word. God's voice will not be different from his word. And then the second thing was that God's voice carries or connotes positivity. God cannot threaten life with his word. God's word carries positivity. It's his character. It carries his person. Amen. Amen. And then that's where we stopped. So today we're going to start from the third thing, how to recognize God's voice. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, take these lips of clay and make it like the pen of the ready writer. Lord, speak to us as we eat your word. Our lives become transformed into that express image that we see in your word as in a mirror. Glory to you, because this meeting will not remain the same. Every lives that we hear your word, both alive here and online or at any other time, this will be replayed. Lord, we pray that every life be blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory to you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're looking at number three, but something came to mind. Painting the color of God's voice. Sometimes you see people in the morning and you just see, let's say I see Mrs. D. As you see Mrs. D, there's something that comes to your mind. Ah, she looks good. Hallelujah. That's how God's voice is. So, the Bible has told us about that God is love, right? That's the color of God's voice. So, when we're talking about the color of God's voice, we're really talking about the personality. So, his voice will not speak anything of hatred, will speak only of love. Hallelujah. We've also heard from the Bible that I can trust in his hand, I can hold his word, and I can run with it, I can trust him. His the color of his voice is trust. He can be trusted. Hallelujah. So when you hear God's voice say to you, Sadman shared with us one time a joke about one guy that was falling from a tree, and the guy held to a branch of a tree, a small branch, tiny branch, and the guy was falling, and God sent someone to come help the guy, and the person was willing to catch him and say, don't worry, leave the branch, I'll catch you. The guy looked at the height and everything, and he said, please, if there's someone else there, help me. Amen. So God's, the color of his voice is trust also. Amen. What's another color of his voice that you know? The Bible says that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Joy. Joy we burst forth from within us. Hallelujah. So the color of his voice also is joy. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. What's the color of God's voice? What are you hearing in your spirit? What is this saying to you? That's the color of his voice.
Because ordinarily, I said it before that initially I was like, this doesn't make sense. Color or voice? Yes. The color of his voice and the personality. So when I look at Mrs. Sajira, I say, why are you looking at me with that color of voice? I mean that she's looking at me romantically. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw different shades of Mrs. Sajira 2 days ago during her birthday, and it was something else. Amen. Amen. Pastor will explain better to you because he's well experienced. I'll be Mrs. D. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at number three. God's word proves who he is. That's the number three. I said the first one is God's voice is his word. Second one is God's voice carries positivity. The third one is God's words or God's voice proves who he is. Hallelujah. Who is God? He is love personified. He is a loving father. The Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. His only son, just so he could prove his love, how much he loves us, that he doesn't want us to die in perpetual darkness, but that we should come into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. He is love personified. Tell someone else. Say, God is love personified. So the Bible has always told us that God is love, God is love, God is love. That's who he is. So the third thing, like we said about the color of God's voice, is that God's word proves who he is. His love. Amen. So his word heals, his word blesses, his word corrects in love, even when he wants us to change. And we looked at, was it James 1:5? Give me James 1:5 again. James chapter 1, verse 5. And we talked about what he does to us when he wants us to change. Give me from the TPT. I think that's what we got. James 1:5 from the TPT says that, So TPT says, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it, and he will give it. Won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures. I remember growing up, when our mother sent us to go bring something from the, your mother is outside in the veranda. You don't know, my mom is, they call her area mama. So everybody in the area knows her because our house is by the roadside and my mom does not fear anybody. So she will tell you no matter what, she will tell you. So she sits outside and then she wants a cup of tea. And she calls me and says, go bring the tea. And I go and bring the tea and I'm holding the tea in front of her. And I say, what should I do? And she will say, put it on my head. If you tell Daisy and Desta now, my children, they will put it on your head. But when my mom says, put it on my head, I have my head intact enough to know that it means, don't you know where you should put it? Abi? And that's how elders talk. They won't tell you the right thing. Say, okay, wash the plate. He say, I don't wash the plate finish. So waiting, I will take and he say, no, go throw one for road. Because he's telling you that there are questions you should not ask. You should just know. Bring torch for me. You go and bring the torch. I said, wait till I go take and say, stand there, take and take the point, this guy. My mom can tell you, and then if you don't know, then my mom comes to maybe a neighbor's place, and I'm not supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be maybe at home doing something, another, my own work or one thing. And then she meets me there and say, my mom will jump and say, you there, yeah? Oh, okay. They play, oh. My friend would say, your mom is not bothered. She said we should play. Eh? You didn't hear what my mom said. You heard they play. Don't worry. Me, I heard you don't die finish. Do we understand? That's how it is. So, but for the other person, say, why are you scared? Your mom is not bothered. Your mom said you should play. Eh? You didn't know what my mom just said. You heard, but you don't know. I know. So I take off running to the house because I know. My mom can wake you 2 a.m. That cane you think you escaped 5 p.m. She will see you come. Even you, you will come with one big brother and the brother will just come and say, he's been in my place, we've been playing. My mom would just be shaking her leg. She would not say anything. Welcome. Enter house. 2 a.m. That's when they will ask you. I know after that, that you hear. When you sleep, no go catch you again. And another day, you won't do that thing again. Praise God. The Bible says, He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures. But He will what? Overwhelm your failures with His generous grace. How much grace He has lavished on us. How many times? You remember so many times that you've done so many things. So many things, including silly things that you shouldn't do. And like, I messed up. But God doesn't judge you and use that as an opportunity to measure on your failures and lambast you. Another. No. We don't have that kind of God. He's a loving Father. He draws you close. He corrects you. He cleans you. The Bible says that I understood from the word of God that I read that when He's talking about blotting away our sins or cleansing us, He's not saying that our sins are there like on a board and they just use something to cover it. No. He cleansed us and made us look like we were not the ones that sinned. New, brand new, one that never existed before. So we should know the kind of mind we have when we approach Him. It's a Father that genuinely loves us and has cleansed us. No wonder He calls us, He had the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Generous grace. His generous grace. He lavished on us. Amen. I'm going to tell us something about, there's a story about a very strong man in the Bible. The book of Judges. Judges chapter 16. Verse 24. And 25. I would like to have that in the message. In the message or amplified classic. Let's see. Judges 16. All right. Judges 16. 24 and 25. Pastor has warned us before. If you depend on the electronic Bible, it can leave you on the express. All right. Are we there? Okay, good. It says, and when the people saw Samson, they praised their God. For they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy. The ravager of our country who has slain many of us. 25. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson. They turned my guy to an entertainer. Call for Samson that he may make sports for us. Another version says that he may entertain us. Another version says that he may perform. I read it from in about four, five various different versions. Sorry. That he may make sport for us. So they called Samson out of the prison and he made sport before them. He entertained them. He performed before them. They made him stand between the pillars. Now, let's back up a little bit. In Chapter 13 talks about the birth of Samson and how God gave the mother clear instructions. Said this one, because the mother was pregnant for a long time, and then God said, send his angels to the woman and said, what you are, by next, say you will have a child. This one will be dedicated to me. He will be, just like Samuel's story, he will be a Nazarite. So don't cut his hair. Give the woman clear instructions. No, don't take drinks. No drink. Mind what you eat. And God gave clear instructions. Mother said, okay.
And then the boy came forth. In chapter 14, you know, they say when children grow, they begin to think they've become adults and then they want to take certain decisions by themselves. This guy grew up and all of a sudden wants to marry from the Philistine. Meanwhile, the parents raised him based on clear instructions. God says we should do this. God says we shouldn't do this. We have the laws. These are the things. Normally, people from his tribe are not supposed to marry from there. Hallelujah. Just like Pastor tells us all the time, we should know who we are and what we do. People from this fold, from the body of Christ, we don't just go to the streets and go to the clubs or go to shrine and go and take a wife. Do we do that? No. So this guy woke up one day and said, now that girl, where everybody don't claim to be Ogbanje, where you know, say yes, now worldly girl, she's a prostitute, she's whatever. He said, now that dirty one, now the good pass. I remember one day some years ago, we were here. Some years ago, I think that was in 2016 or so. One guy was passing. The guy was smelly, dirty with sweat and everything. And one woman said, see, now this kind of one, ain't a good pass for husband. I said, eh? And you were surprised. She be the same one man's meat is another man's. You answer for yourself. Amen. So, say, this kind of one, ain't a good pass for husband. I said, eh? I was shocked. Praise God. So Samson said that's what he wants. In fact, when he said he wants a wife from the Philistine, the father and the mother said, no. Are you sure you know what you're saying? We have amongst your brothers here, amongst our fold, you can find a wife, a good wife. The one that's well schooled, the one that's well trained, has manners, and beautiful, she's intelligent, she's godly. He said, no. I want the one that's Raz. I want streets. Is that not what we are hearing? Say streets. So I want the one who says, don't rock life. You don't retire. With a retired certificate. So that's the one I want. I don't want all this godly, bless you, sister. No. So Samson was choosing, he wanted someone wild. And it landed him in trouble. It landed him in trouble. So at a point, he had a bet with some guys, 30 champions that he gave to companions that he gave to him. Guess what happened? While he was going to see this lady, he saw a lion, and all that. On his way back, he saw that it had formed honey and all that, and he scooped it and was eating. So he had a bet with those guys. And it's based on what he experienced. They wouldn't have known the answer because even the lady did not know. So, except Samson tells the answer, they didn't know the answer to the riddle. But guess what? Playing, frolicking, or what's the word we talked about this morning in the school? Romancing the devil or playing around the enemy's camp is putting your own life at risk. Amen. So, she sold out. After she disturbed him to give her the answer, Samson succumbed. After a while, after she had cried. You've not seen those kind of women that cry. I know them. I've seen some of them. They cry to make you do what you don't want to do. I will never do this. They'll come and pet you and rub all your head and all that. And then Samson succumbed and told her the answer. She went to tell them. Do not forget, they are our brothers. They are our family. You are a different species. We talked about a companion. Brother Dipo even mentioned it. The companions of fools will destroy them. The companions of fools will destroy them. So, they bribed her. She told them the answer that Samson gave her, and they won the bet. It pained Samson because it's a big loss. So So Samson said, I will not pay this thing from my pocket. He went to their camp. And if Samson wants to kill, he will kill. Get all the things, killed who he wants to kill, get all the things, and paid the bet. After that, this same Samson, to tell you the level of his strength, once he pulled the gate of a city, I'm talking of the gate of Surpassing Grace assembly compound. No. City gate, a whole city gate. I don't even know what to use to measure that. A whole city gate. You know what it says, city gate? Pulled it with one hand and carried it. Climbed mountain with it. Imagine that strength. Satan taught us here something. He said, the sin of adultery, the Bible says, it reduces a man to crumbs of bread. You know crumbs of bread? Not the bread itself. As you tear bread to eat. I like, my children don't like, just like me, I don't like those bread that, what do you call them, sliced bread. I don't like, don't slice anything. Let me eat if I want to eat. Give me the unsliced one. Don't be giving me layer by layer like kindergarten. Let me chop if I want to chop. When you cut that bread, there are particles that fall on the ground. You may not see them. They are tiny. They are small. That's what it reduces a man to. And that's what Samson did. Upon all the mighty strength and all the things he did, defeating the enemy and everything, he played again to that place. My mom will always say, the thing when they switch you for that place, you know when your mother shake, what will come out of it, you will not like it. The mother was warning him. The father warned him. He didn't hear. And he went again. Bam. Gaza, the same. See them? And what happened? One little girl started rubbing his head and asking him, tell me the secret of your strength. When you play with the enemy, when you play with sin, when you play with things you shouldn't toil with, you lose value, tangible values that have been spent in bringing you into the kingdom light. So in his romance with Delilah, he found himself in a death trap. Grace abused, his life risked. So he risked his life, abused the grace, strength given him by God for exploit. He made mockery of the grace of God upon his life. So the men came to Delilah and said, we see that he's always coming. Today he will buy Domino pizza, ice cream, Cold Stone for you. He's always coming and taking you out, giving you groove and all that. Please, we'll give you any amount you want. We'll give you a blank check. Even if you want the latest car. They put a bet on his head. And they said, all we need is just one thing. The secret to his strength. Because this guy is finishing our people. He has finished us. We just want to know the secret of his power. And Delilah told him, say, Samson, come, I'll make indomie for you. You know that kind of indomie that has special. Richard Brassonde knows it. Make it. And Samson came, ate indomie and dodo. After he has eaten, Delilah said, oh, yeah, tell me now, yeah, what's the secret of your strength? And he said, if you just hold my locks together with a rope, and she rubbed his head, and the guy was just taking a nap. And he said, Samson, the Philistine, somebody is telling you, how can you give me, I like cold water. You are giving me acid that you put in the freezer that is cold. And you are telling me, this is cold acid. Since you like cold water, this will be good for you. You are giving me, and you are expecting, and
I will now take it and drink it. He's playing with his life. He saw death in his face. Like this. The Philistines are coming upon him. And then he, again, she did part two. He was still. They play. I've never seen a man so foolish that would take such risk at your own life. Three times. And after that, she cried. Now I know you really don't love me. You see, whoa. Now I know you really don't love me. All this fake love you are just showing me, not all these things that you're doing. I've been asking you, you're toiling with me and you're choosing me to do. Please, if you don't, you don't want this relationship again, go. And you know he cannot go because he has put his life there. If you know, no, I don't want this relationship again. Samson, now you get strength. Samson, brother Samson, Alagbara, plus all your power and everything. One tiny little girl is controlling your resources, your mom, pressing your mumu button and telling and controlling your life and leading you to death. And you are really telling her the key, the way to kill. This is how to kill. The best way to kill me is just this. And he really revealed. And he said, no razor had come upon my head ever. If these locks are cut off, my power is finished. And he said, now I know that you really told me the truth. Oh, yeah, don't worry, I'll make that indomie. That's your favorite. That indomie you used to like. I'll put a tarodo, correct pepper, so your life can pepper you very well. And she called on them and said, this time it is real. Watch, if you read chapter 16 very well, you will see that other times when she had called, when she would tell Samson, the Philistines are upon you. They are not really there. But it's just to, what's the word? Just to shakara Samson to see if the power is there. You didn't tell me the truth. But this time she told them, she said, get your men, get ready. This is the real deal. Mind the secret you share with people. Many lives have gone down because of certain things they shouldn't say. The Bible says that wisdom is profitable to direct. So they came with a prize because they know that this is the real deal for sure. And then they pounced on him. The first thing they did was remove his eyes. Why? The eye is the gateway. There are things, I watched this. If you are, what's the word? If you're watching a movie on the screen, there's a way something is thrown, maybe like something is thrown towards the screen, towards the camera, according to the direction of the film. That if you are seated directly opposite the screen and you are close, you almost, that reflex, you want to feel like it's coming, or you are watching, haven't you seen some, even when you see some, maybe like horror film, you see something like, you know, there's that reflex, there's that response, right? Another thing again, I've watched, sometimes when you watch people who do, like you're watching, you're not running, but you see people running. Sometimes you are sweating. Brother, not be you they run, but now you they sweat. Why? Because in your head, it's like you're running. In your mind, you're seeing what you're seeing. So what you see matters a great deal. So they remove these eyes. Another way of killing the potency of the power that is supposed to be within him. Remove the eyes. The eye is the gateway. Eye is very, very important. They plucked out his eyes and put him in prison. And he started grinding, turned Samson to a slave, and started working the mills. May God help us in Jesus' name. There are things we shouldn't toy with. How do you tell an enemy your weak point? I also noticed that if you stay too much too long in a conversation that is not relevant, you lose relevance.
Soon you find yourself saying the things you shouldn't say. Soon you find yourself toiling the same path with the other person. So if that person comes with all manner of negativity, this country is bad, this is that, before long, you lose your stand. So make your stand known and walk away. Because some conversations are just not worth it. Don't waste your time there and argue. No, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Somebody is sick, goes to the doctor, and the doctor said, they've not gone to the doctor. The first thing they do is they try to look. I've experienced one of my kids' sister. She was having headache, so this constant headache. And she was asked to go see the doctor. She has not even gone to see the doctor. And she said, I think it's malaria. You know, it's only Nigerians that know how to diagnose by themselves and give prescription. I think she has gone. So soon, 2-3 people told her, that thing used to do me, eh? And you know when somebody say, that thing used to do me, the one that is doing me, Soon, before you know, you are tolling that part and say, it could be this that is doing me. I corrected somebody recently, a teenager, here in church. What did she do? She said she has an ailment. And I said, how did you know? Because she's too young to have such a man. How did you come about that? Guess what she said? She said, I was in the meeting with women when doctor was saying this, that. It's something that is normal with women. And then she said, that's how she... I said, you were in the wrong meeting, oh. This your own is not that. Your own, you are still in a formation stage. So it's not that. She had already... And she was already confessing it already that she has... I say, how many times have we taken certain things or done certain things because someone said, now so they do me my own, and then you say, it's the same thing, and then you're going to buy a drug for what somebody else is saying that is happening to them. And then the worst one is when we go to the pharmacy or whatever, and then you have those ones that they have mixed. I said, this one is for your case. They don't box them. They inside there. Worse still is the one that is everything. Do it, you can do everything. That one can. It's for leg, it's for head, it's for ears, for everything. And so Samson put his life at risk. Abused the grace of God upon his life. I want to show something in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 32. I'm going here because of some of the warnings. Sometimes we've seen a lot of things, but people always say, just Bible, leave that in. So he said, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. So you are dying already. But because you're not seeing yourself drop on the ground, he said, if I escape this one, whoa, see that woman went there, I done the, and then you go. In 5, just flip back, chapter 5, verse 8. Look at what it says again. 5 verse 8. It says, remove your way from her and do not go near the door of her house. 9 says, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. May God save us from damnation. Amen. I'll wrap up with this. In the book of Jeremiah, where we studied
on today. If you read 34 very well, in fact, 35. If you read 35 very well, chapter 35 in Jeremiah, you will see that in verse 1, in fact, let's just open, just go to Jeremiah chapter 35. There are things we shouldn't just toil with. There are things that are sacred. There are things that are that your lives are tied to. Verse 1 says, 35, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. This was just God playing, God just saying it in sarcasm, just to see. You know why? Because in 34, God told Jeremiah to go tell his people, the children of Israel, that release your slaves, the male and the female slaves, let them go. They let them go, finish, and went to take them back. Use God till they do 10-10. Because for your mind, God and your mates, because you escaped death, or because you are not seeing yourself die after committing that sin. Because the Bible says that the soul that sins shall what? Die. Because man not drop dead immediately. You think, oh, okay, I can do another one again. I can play another one. Use God till they do. And then God said to Jeremiah, tell them that I'm gravely annoyed with them. I gave them my word, made a covenant with them and everything. And then I told them they released their slaves and went to capture them back again. That's outrightly disobeying God. That's actually desecrating his orders. That's actually flaunting even the covenant God made with them. So God made a covenant with them. Do this, obey me, let the slaves go. And then he came into covenant with them and said, I have given you victory already over this war that is coming because you have obeyed me. After God has finished with them, they went back and captured the slave again and said, no, we will keep them. After you have made agreement with God, then God told Jeremiah, wanted to show Jeremiah the difference between his own children and these people. See, look at verse 5. We've read 1 and 2. See verse 5. And then verse 5 says, then I said before the sons, that's Jeremiah now, then I said before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. So Jeremiah really went abroad and gave them to drink. Look at what they said in verse 6. But they said, we will not drink, but they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, for our father's father. So they've been listening to the instructions handed over generations of their fathers to them. Commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. They were not ready to trade that for anything. They were not ready to throw that to try to play smart. Say, oh, okay, you know, it's red wine. It's the white one. It's four cousins, or call it four nephews, or make it look light. You know, when people want to do things, they make it look. It's just Smell of ice. It's just like Sprite. No matter how much you try to make it look like Sprite, or make it look like it's nice, if it's wrong, it is wrong. Hallelujah. When I went to the East to pay my wife's bride price, there's this trap they set. If you don't know, you fall inside, you are gone. So, what's the trap? The trap. I learned that they have two lists. I'm saying this so that the brothers who are not married and you are going to the East to Igbo land to marry, just know. So, they have two lists, actually. The main Igbo list is long. Sister Happy Abi? It's long. It'd be like, would they do project? It's very long. You will buy things. You will tire. So, but they have that one's like a born again list. So it's like for Christians. So they remove all the Nigerian breweries and all the things that is supposed to accompany. So they remove all the alcohol and all that. So it's now a light version of the other one. So they brought this list. My uncle almost fainted. My uncle said, they go, I said, go here. You
all the way from Delta State, past Onitsha, past everywhere. You don't reach Imo State. They say you go where? For Listo, you see, I sit down there. So, thank God for good women. My mother-in-law was at the window. She was, say, just be looking at me. So she was giving me expo. Mothers, God will bless mothers. So, haven't you observed that in weddings or marriage, it's the mother that wants the daughter to get married most? You know, they are happy. So they will give you every corporation. If you are not lucky, you don't have that kind of mother-in-law. Sorry. So she was giving me eye. See? So they now did something. They brought, they first welcomed us and they brought alcohol. We separated to one corner. We thanked them and gave them back and we took the soft drink. I tell my people, if you price market, you will buy it. What you see me take, take. So we took mineral, took malt and left that one. And I go, oh, when they take this one, we say, eh, they carried it to one side. I said, okay, somebody just came and said, ah, this is freshly tapped palm wine from the tree. This and that. My mother-in-law just give me eye, queen, queen, say, hey. Say, you take this one, they have caught you. So I told her, I said, ah, this palm wine will be very, very sweet, fresh, with leaf on top. Another, thank you very much, sirs. Take. I said, ah, one will say, ah, this is the sharp. They don't know that we have been given the expo. So, and then that was it. And that's how we escaped. My guy went for his own. I told him, he had. They gave him palm wine. Say, this one is palm wine. He said, after all, it's palm wine. It's different. They say it's from tree. And they gave him one manner of education. And then he took. After I took palm wine, he said, okay, you see this list? Give us this list. You are not using this list again. They brought that other list that has Agbada and Nigerian breweries and everything. The guy, today, he's still trying to gather money to do the marriage. He has not done it. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. So, the Rechabites, they stood their ground because they know what their fathers told them. How do you handle the instructions, the doctrines, the instructions given to you, handed over to you, the lessons, the testimonies, the word of God, the epistles that have been handed to you by our fathers? I thank God we are in a place where we learn God's word, where we are taught God's word in spirit and in truth, genuinely. Nothing hidden, nothing, you know, don't cut anything out. They tell you, you are giving God's word the way it is. Praise the Lord. And as Samson died like a common man, Samson, that when they hear that Samson is coming, everybody, all the Philistines will start running. He died alongside with them. Fine. He had that kind of death where his hair grew again and the pillars, he pulled down the pillars and how many, about 3,000 people died with him. But he was not supposed to go down that lane. He was not supposed to die like that. Amen. I said here once that Christians, people who, believers who have God in their lives, we don't die like fowl. We don't die like chicken anyhow. Because we know what we should know. The Holy Spirit gives you expo. Just like my mother-in-law was cutting eye for me in that window. That's how the Holy Spirit does. The Bible says that God has given him to us as a help. One called alongside to help. So he reveals secrets to us. Mysteries. Divine mysteries. I was talking to a couple and I told them, I said, do you know it's possible for husband and wife to sit in one place? Eh? You are sitting here. And it's the man's friend's place, house. The man's friend is the man's enemy. Like, you know those kind of frenemies? Uh-huh. The man may not know, but the woman we know. Because women are very, very sensitive. The man may not know. If friend give her a drink, if friend they do like this, they do. But the wife will be sensitive enough to know. And that's why the Bible says two. One will chase 1,000. Two will chase what? 10,000. Why? That's an extra eye. A super extra eye. A super extra eye for you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to help us. There are things you want to do and he's telling you in your heart, speaking to you in your heart. And he's saying, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Do this. Take it like this. Answer like this. No, 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 don't fight. Do this, do this. And when we do, what we see, the outcome is always amazing.
The outcome is always glorious. And it brings glory to the Father. And we are blessed for it. Amen. 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 Our life will be made so easy, sweet, and beautiful when we obey the instructions, the leadings of the Spirit. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it said to us that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken, it will vitalize. Even where you are supposed to be weak, it will strengthen. That's what it means. Quicken, strengthen, revitalize your mortal bodies to the point that you begin to do the things you think you are incapacitated to do, things you think you couldn't do. You just find yourself doing them. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes even when you think you are mentally stressed and everything, and then you're supposed to be weak, with joy from the inside, you hear a song playing from your inside, and then before you know it, you're like, I didn't know I would be able to do this because I had a stressful weekend and blah, 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 and all that. Why? There's strength from your inside coming from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray this morning. Can we just rise up on our feet as we're going to pray? Trusting God for strength. Trusting God for direction. Trusting God for his leading. Trusting God that steps that we will take this week, step that we'll take this week and the rest of the month, that it will be steps as led by his Spirit. We will not base our strength on our mental capacity. We will not depend on our abilities, but we will depend on his leading, on his help. Is our help, is our help, is our present help in time of need. Hallelujah. Can we just begin to talk to him this morning? Oh, talk to him this morning. Father, thank you for strength. Thank you for help. I'll depend on you. I'll follow your lead. At all times, I'll follow your lead. I'll follow your lead. I'll follow your lead. Oh, makavanayana no sharabrana mante vegedoska. In the vena monta, librada dest, edisk evesk, elepakadosh, kamande vrenonos, kabanda vanamosh karada, pelefrana mante, kefrekedos, kobanda la mande riadosh, keverebo, sondaganan in sharados. Oh, manta frana mande, vregedos, karadosh. There's someone in this meeting. You are troubled on your inside. You are troubled, very troubled. If he took away your sins and he have brought you this far, no matter how threatening that trouble is, I hear deeply, peace be still. Peace. Is our present help. Oh, take away that worries. Just take away that worries. God has got you. Live frana mande vregedosh karabrana mosk. Kevrena mosh karados. Onde brana mande vrenos oreya. Be anxious for nothing. Live frana mont vronos to regedishka. He'll come through for you. Live frana ba sidados. And the Venokto Pacadish, Kevana Mahanda Vatadosh, and the Bronomosom, Negedirish, Karados, or the Anamandi Venedosh. Do not be hasty. Do not make a permanent, do not take a permanent decision over a temporary issue. Ola Branda Mandi Yadosh. You can trust him. The color of his voice is trust, is love. He is dependable. Elemosh Karadeshka. And his word says, is our defense. You can trust him. I need thee every hour, oh precious Lord.